All right, so keys to effective prayer. First off, the first key we need is faith. Mark 11:24, therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when ye pray, believe that ye receive them and ye shall have them. So God says to believe that ye receive them and ye shall have them. Now we know we want to qualify this. We don't ever just take just one passage of Scripture for where it's at. I actually preached on this on Sunday night. But there are qualifications for prayer. We can ask amiss to consume it upon our own lust. So it doesn't mean just anything we want, we just get. God doesn't work like that. Yes, He says, you come to me with faith. That's a principle of prayer that we need. That's a key we need. We have to have faith. We have to believe God, that God will answer, that God can answer, that God wants to answer. But with that, we can't ask amiss that we're going to consume it upon our own lust. We have to ask in faith. And it has to be according to God's will. This is why we take all of Scripture instead of just isolated verses and make them say what we want it to say. So we take all of Scripture in regard to this. The disciples, as we look at this key to faith, to effective prayer, faith, the disciples were reproved for having little faith. So let's go ahead and look at that. Go to Matthew chapter 6 and verse 30, if we would. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 30. He says, wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall He not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? He rebukes them for not having faith. He says, O ye of little faith. God takes care of the flowers as they don't toil, they don't do anything, takes care of the grass. Won't He much rather take care of you and much better take care of you, O ye of little faith? See, we doubt God. We don't trust God. We look for what we can see and we try and figure it out for ourselves. But God says, hey, just like I take care of the grass, it's taken care of every day. I handle all of that. I handle the flowers. I handle all of that. You're much greater than they are. Trust me to take care of you, O ye of little faith. And then I like verse 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. We want everything taken care of. God says, hey, seek my kingdom first. See, there's a principle we can apply right there. So the disciples are reproved for their little faith. Let's go to 8:26, same book, Matthew 8:26. His disciples, verse 25, and His disciples came to Him and awoke Him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. They're in a storm now, okay? And He saith unto them, why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Then He arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. O ye of little faith. See, He rebukes them for not having faith. When we come to God, we have to have faith. When we have a lack of faith, God tends to rebuke us for that. It's impossible to please God without faith. Okay, Matthew 14:31 now. Oh, I like this right here. This is when Peter walks on the water. Verse 30, but when he saw the wind, talking about Peter, boisterous, he was afraid and beginning to sink. He cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth His hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? In the midst of that storm. See, when we're going through a raging storm in our life, God says, hey, don't doubt. Keep trusting me. Keep trusting me. I know the waves are crashing all around you. And God says, keep trusting me. Keep trusting me, O ye of little faith. Don't doubt. Don't doubt. We come to God. A principle of prayer is that we come to God in faith. And then chapter 16 and verse 8. So the disciples, Jesus is talking about false doctrine. The disciples think He's talking about bread. And He says in verse 8, which when Jesus perceived, He said unto them, O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves because ye have brought no bread? Ye of little faith. They're not trusting God. They don't have the faith in God that they should. How many times can that be said of us? Because we can look at the disciples and say, man, they saw God do so much. I mean, He fed the 5,000. I mean, He even rebukes them for that. He says there in verse 10, neither the seven loaves of the 4,000 and how many baskets you took up, or the 5,000 and how many baskets you took up. Don't you remember what I did in the past? That's what God says. He reminds them of that. Oh, ye of little faith, look back at what I've already done, which is the exact thing that David did when he was facing Goliath. He said, No, a bear came and I smote him. A lion came, I smote the lion. He says, this giant will be just the same. God will deal with this giant. See, what we need to do when we're having doubts, when we're having a hard time in our walk with God and we're not sure what to do, we need to have faith. We need to look back at what God's done in the past. Look back to the victories He's given us to give us the encouragement to keep moving forward. But Jesus rebuked them for having little faith. Okay, so a key to effective prayer is to have faith. A key to effective prayer is to have fervency. James 5:16 says, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. That means that our prayer, when we come to God, it's effectual when it's fervent and it avails much. That's what it says, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man. And who is that, though? Whose prayer is heard? The righteous man. The righteous man. That means we could take this to 1 John 1:8 and 9. We need to confess our sins. Okay, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Okay? Romans 15:30 says, now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of the Spirit, that ye strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. So striving together, that's that fervency, that work. Strive means to make efforts, to use exertions, to endeavor with earnestness, to labor hard, applicable to exertions of body or mind. And that's what prayer is. It's an exertion of the mind. And we need to labor in that, to make effort in that, to endeavor with earnestness, to labor hard in prayer. That you strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. We need to be fervent in our prayer if we're to have effective prayer. It can't be half-hearted, but must be fervent. Let's look at Colossians 4:12 if we would. We can't come to our prayer with it half-hearted. If we want to have effective prayer, it needs to be fervent. Colossians 4:12 says, Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you. Get this, always laboring. Laboring. Always laboring fervently for you in prayer that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. So Epaphras is laboring for the Colossians so that they can stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. See, he's laboring, it's work. So for our prayers to be effective, they need to be filled with faith and they need to be fervent. Third, our prayers need to be persistent. We need persistence in our prayer. Luke 18:1 says, and he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. It means don't quit. Don't give up. When it gets hard, when you can't see it, he says, don't quit. Don't give up. You just keep going. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. That's what God wants from us. He wants persistence. He wants to see that we're in it, that we're not giving up on him. Christ taught us to ask, seek, and knock. And the verbs in that verse are in the continual sense. Let's look at it. Matthew 7, 7. Matthew 7, 7 says, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. He's saying continually do these things. Continually ask. Continually seek, continually knock. And he says, what? It's going to be given to you. You'll find it. It's going to be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. God says, hey, be persistent. Don't quit. We're to keep asking, seeking, and knocking. Another key to effective prayer is fasting. Fasting, Matthew 17, 21. It says, howbeit this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. This kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. There was a devil-possessed young man. I believe we just read the companion verse in Luke 9, actually, to this right here, if I'm not mistaken. The man brings his son to the disciples. The disciples can't cast him out, if I'm not mistaken. I might be mixing this up here, but it remains the same anyway. Verse 19, then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could not we cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. You see, there it is again. We have to come to God in faith. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit, this kind, this casting out these devils, getting into spiritual battle, spiritual warfare, this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. And as we're going to engage in spiritual warfare, which we are right now, getting ready to start this church, we are engaging in spiritual warfare. And if we want this kind of power with God and we want God to hear our prayers, then He says, hey, this kind doesn't happen but by prayer and fasting. It's important that we seek God. So as we engage to start new churches, we are entering into spiritual warfare and need the Lord's help all the more. And coming soon after we finish this, likely next week, what we're going to do is we're going to go through a study on biblical fasting. We're going to look at that, and then as a church, we're going to begin to engage in fasting as we get ready to start this church. And you can see that's exactly what they did in Acts chapter 13 before they endeavored to start new churches. Before they sent Paul and Barnabas out, they fasted and prayed. And the Holy Ghost said, send me Barnabas and Saul for the work whereunto I have called them. Okay, so we will go through a study on biblical fasting here. All right, effective prayer takes prayer partners. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you. 2 Thessalonians 3:1. What prayer partners? Paul continually throughout his letter said, hey, pray for us, pray for us, pray for us. We need that. There's something special when we gather together to pray in a concentrated effort. In Matthew 18:20, it says, for where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. God wants us to gather together and to pray. He wants to use us for that. There's something special about it. Paul continually asked people, hey, brethren, pray for us. Pray for us. There's some other references. You should have it in your handout. If not, I've got it in this one. It's a shorter one that I will give to everyone. They'll be here so you can have these keys to effective prayer with you. I've got them printed out for you already. That's smaller than the one you're filling out. I just wanted to keep your attention as we went through this. That's why I gave you the handout. All right, and then lastly, we want to pray in God's will. And this is really where we're going to begin to focus some of our prayers, is in regards to this right here, praying in God's will. 1 John 5:14 and 15 says, and this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. So He says, this is the confidence. We have confidence. And our confidence is in Him. And here's what it is. If we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. So we know that if we ask according to His will, He heareth us. Okay? And if we know that He hear us, so if it's according to His will, we have this confidence. So if we know that, if we know that He hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. God's saying, you guys know you have it. If you ask it according to my will, you know you have it. And that's why we're going to begin to pray for things that God has said to pray for. Things that we know 100% without a doubt are His will. We're going to start praying for them specifically because we know He hears us. And if He hears us, we have it. Now, it doesn't mean we have it tomorrow, but I mean, that's where people could get discouraged. They're like, well, God said we have it. How come we don't have it yet? It might be in a year. I don't know. I mean, my kids can ask me for a lot of things. It doesn't mean they're getting it right now. You know, if my son's 5 years old and he says, hey, Dad, you know, can I have a car? Hey, I'm planning on giving him one day. So I heard you, son. That's my will too. But you're not getting it right now. Not at 5. You're going to have to wait. But the intention is to give it to him. It's the same with God. You say, yeah, you're going to get it. You just got to wait. Not yet. Not yet. I'll get it to you. But we have that promise that He's going to hear us. So here's some things we should be praying for. Laborers or churches to be started. Luke chapter 10, verse 2. Let's go ahead and look at that. Luke 10, 2. This is something the Lord commanded us to pray for. We'll look at Luke 10, 1 actually. It says, after these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also and sent them two and two before His face into every city and place whither He Himself would come. Therefore said He unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that He would send forth laborers into His harvest. So He said, hey, pray to the Lord of the harvest that He'll send forth laborers. And that's what we want to pray for. We want to pray for laborers. God sent forth laborers. And He just got through sending 70 out by teams of two. 35 teams got sent out. And He said, pray for the Lord of the harvest that we'd have more. The fields are white already to harvest. Matthew 10 is where that talks about that. The harvest truly is great, He says right here, but the laborers are few. There's a great harvest out there to be had, but the laborers are few. You got a bunch of people sitting on their blessed assurance, and they won't do anything for God. And God's telling us in His Word, that the harvest is great, but the laborers are few. No one wants to go out. No one wants to serve God. So Jesus said, hey, you pray to the Lord of the harvest that He'd send forth laborers. That's what we need to pray for. And I put with that for churches to be started as well, because that fits right with the Great Commission in Matthew 28, 18 to 20. Jesus said, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. So when we go out and we obey this command, Jesus said, I'm going to be with you. And He says, I have all authority. It doesn't matter what anyone says. You go, because all power is given unto me. And He told him to go start churches. That's what He was telling them. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them. Well, you have to have a church to do that. So as you go to different nations, He's saying, start a church. Start a church. Go start churches. That's what He's saying. So that's what we're praying for. We're praying for laborers and churches to be started. God to raise up men. And even with that, we need godly women to go alongside those men. That's absolutely necessary, that there's godly women standing next to those men to go help them, to encourage them, and that they would go forth and we can train them right here. We can send them out of here to go start churches, to be laborers. We need laborers. Also, we need to pray for protection from evil men. Romans 15, 30. Romans chapter 15 and verse 30. Romans 15, 30 says, now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of the Spirit, that ye strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. So pray for me. Here, that I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea. Well, who's that? Those are people that wanted to do him harm. They wanted to hurt him. That I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea, and that my service which I have for Jerusalem may be accepted of the saints. So we need to pray for protection from evil men. That's still the same today. There's evil men out there that will seek to do us harm. And we need to pray for protection from those evil men. Whether it's them making a phone call to some government official, or it's them attacking us physically, or whatever it may be, we need to pray for protection from evil men. That's what Paul asked them for. He said, I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake, for the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in your prayers to God for me, semicolon. Here's what I want you to pray, that I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea. Who's that? That's the Jews. The Jews that were persecuting him everywhere he went. He said, pray for me. Pray for me. So we want to pray for laborers, for protection from evil men. We should be praying for government leaders so we can live a quiet and peaceable life. Governmental leaders so we can live a quiet and peaceable life. 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 4. Government leaders. Is everyone trying to get ahead of the rest of them? I'll just wait. Because I know some people are. I should have just put them on their own. Live and learn. I already have learned that. I know my wife. She wants all of them. Did you get them all? Everyone got them? Okay. Yeah, that's all right. You don't matter. All right, government leaders, so we can live a quiet and peaceable life. 1 Timothy 2:1 through 4 says, I exhort, therefore, that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Now, we're going to define some of these all men, okay? Yes, all men, but there's some specifics he wants. For kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. So why should we pray for them? So that we can live a quiet and peaceable life in godliness and honesty. That's why we pray for them. Paul says it's a selfish motive here. Here's why we pray for them. So we can live a godly and peaceable life, a quiet and peaceable life. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. So as we pray for the kings and these leaders, so that we can live a quiet and peaceable life, God says, I'm going to use that so that all men can be saved, because that's what I want. Now, we know not all men are going to be saved. People choose that. But God wants all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. That's what he says right there. God, this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. This is what God wants. He wants all men to be saved. So because of that, we need to pray for kings and all that are in authority, so we can lead a quiet and peaceable life. It's important. Now, on this prayer list that we have down here, I have listed from the mayor, the different city councilors, our state representatives, our state senators, state representatives, the federal House of Reps and Senate, the governor. I didn't put the lieutenant governor. I forgot to put that one on there. But the president and the vice president, they're all listed there. All the names are there. And we're going to begin praying for these people. And really, I'd say more so, let's focus. We're going to pray for all of them, but let's focus on the people right here that affect how we live right here, the city councilors. That's who we really need to be praying for. And the mayor here. And what I'm wanting to do is I'll probably do that this week or next week. I want to put an email together and just basically send it to all of them and tell them that our church is praying for them and that they will lead in righteousness. That's what we're going to tell them, and we're going to be praying for them and praying that God gives them wisdom and God helps them, because I want to lead a quiet and peaceable life and I want them to stay out of my business. Amen. Amen. That's what we're going to pray for. I want to pray that they be liberty-minded and that they would protect our life, liberty, and property and stay out of our conscience. Don't tell us how to live. Don't tell us what we can think. And now it'll be worded politely and kind, but we want to encourage them and tell them we're praying for them. But we also want to let them know, there's people out here that recognize the Bill of Rights and think you all should be standing on that and representing us in that. But we will begin to pray for them specifically. All right, spiritual wisdom. We need to pray for spiritual wisdom. Colossians 1:9. Says, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. So we want to pray that we would be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. So we need spiritual wisdom. That's a specific prayer request we're going to pray for. We want to walk worthy of God's will, Colossians 1:10. So that you would have this spiritual wisdom, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. So we want to walk worthy of God's will. We want also spiritual fruit, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work. So we want to be fruitful. We're going to pray for that. That's what we need to pray for. So this is what Paul said. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you. Paul says, this is what we're praying for you, that you'd walk worthy of the Lord, that you would be fruitful in every good work, and also that we would increase in the knowledge of God. So we want to know God better. We're going to pray that we would know God better. And then lastly, we want to pray for God's word to have free course and to be glorified. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 1. And this is, I mean, just key. We're praying, you know, for laborers and churches to be started. You know, all these kind of fit together. And they come down to this, that God's Word would have free course and be glorified. Because when we go out there, we want God's Word to have free course. We want it to penetrate the hearts. We want it to get through and reach people and break those hard hearts as we preach the law of the Lord, so that it breaks those hardened sinners' hearts and the gospel seed can be planted in their heart on good soil and they can come to salvation. Because God says, hey, my will is that all men come to the knowledge of salvation, is what we just read. God says, I want everybody saved. So we want to pray that God's Word would have free course. 2 Thessalonians 3:1. Finally, brethren, pray for us. Paul says, pray for us. Why? That the Word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you. It's glorified with you. It's had free course with you, Thessalonians. Don't we want other people to have what we have? I know I do. I want my family to have what I have. Amen. Amen. That's what I want for them. So we need to pray that the Word of the Lord may have free course. It can just penetrate right in, get right into those hard hearts. And that's what we need to pray for. So these are, as we look at it, some of the keys to effective prayer. Keys to effective prayer. We need faith. We need fervency. We need persistence. We need fasting. We need prayer partners. And we need to pray in God's will. Those are the keys to effective prayer.